Welcome back to The 24 Show. I'm Reginald Hardwick, sitting in for Brian Mackey. Earlier in the show, you heard from NPR's Domenico Montanaro. He is appearing on the University of Illinois campus this week, thanks to the efforts of our next guests. In 2020, Rich and Leslie Frank presented a $7.5 million gift that created the Richard and Leslie Frank Center for Leadership and Innovation in Media at the U of I's College of Media. Part of the center's mission includes a speaker series, like the one this week featuring Domenico and political journalists from CNN, The Wall Street Journal, and the Chicago Tribune. Rich Frank earned his bachelor's degree in marketing from the U of I. In 1985, he became the president of Disney Studios, which on his watch created iconic sitcoms such as The Golden Girls and Home Improvement, and films like Pretty Woman, Dead Poets Society, and The Lion King. Leslie Frank was a television reporter in her native Canada before crossing the border to the U.S. She was a main anchor at the Fox station in Seattle and a longtime reporter and anchor at the ABC station in Los Angeles.
And focusing additional resources on policing and, of course, the new gang strategy will cost you, the taxpayer, money. So
the two of them have a major presence in the vineyard business in Napa Valley, California. But this week, they're here in central Illinois to meet with students, faculty, and journalism professionals. And they took some time from a busy week to join us in studio. Welcome to The 21st Show, Rich and Leslie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reginald. Good to be here.
And we need to note that this segment is not live, so we're not taking calls, but you can send us your thoughts by emailing talk@21stshow.org. Rich, I read that your father was a World War II veteran who, after returning to Brooklyn, New York, became an entrepreneur, and you credit his hard work and dedication with giving you the opportunity to be the first person in your family to go to college. Why did you choose the U of I?
Oh, thank you. Making me think back over good memories. Yes, when my dad got back from the war, he opened a wholesale meatpacking plant in Brooklyn. And when I was old enough, he told me I could, he had raised enough money for me to go to college as the first person in a family to do so. And I could go any place I could get into, except if I could, well, it couldn't be a place I could come home for the weekend. And I said, gee, I thought you loved me and wanted me around. And he said, I learned in the Army that if you stay in one place, like Brooklyn and in New York, you'll think the world thinks this way. And they do not. And if you go away, you'll meet people from other states and learn what the rest of the United States is like. So I started looking at schools further away from New York. At the time, I was pretty good hobby in doing mechanical drawing and was hanging around people that had architectural firms and decided I would try to come to the university to study architecture. That didn't last too long because I realized that everybody in the architecture school was much better at doing that than I was. So I switched into engineering. And there I was bored. And finally, I switched into marketing and found something I could do. The beauty of the University of Illinois and a university this size is many colleges gives you many, many opportunities. And it gave me time to actually grow up a little and find what I wanted to do and what was good for me. And they really set me on a great path.
Leslie, you have covered some of the biggest stories in recent history, September 11th attacks, hurricanes, the Michael Jackson trial. What attracted you to a career in TV news?
I think I was fortunate enough to grow up in a household with parents who were sort of news junkies. I mean, when we were sitting down to dinner at 5 o'clock, the radio would be on the local news. My parents were avid readers of, you know, the newspaper and other, you know, news articles, magazines. So that was just sort of instilled in me the importance of understanding and being up on current events. But I also have a natural curiosity. And I think, you know, I always say to students that that's important. If you want to be a journalist, you have to be curious about life in general and curious about people and not be afraid to ask questions. And I was certainly born that way. I think I still am that way.
Totally.
And so I think that you know, kind of led to my success a little bit, that I had that natural curiosity to pursue journalism.
With both of your backgrounds, why was it important to you to create the Center for Leadership and Innovation in Media here at the U of I?
Well, my love for the university and wanting to do something here and combining it with my more entertainment background, although I did run a group of stations and we did news, so I was involved in that. But it was Leslie's career and passion and something that we both were interested in, and it was a way to bring it all together in one place.
Rich and I have had the opportunity to visit the university over the last several years and sit in on the classes and speak with the journalism professors. And we're really impressed by the program here and the people who are really dedicated to making it one of the best journalism programs in the country. But we felt with a little extra push and a little extra funding that we could really level the playing field at the University of Illinois for the students here and make it one of the top schools. You know, I had the ability when I was working in Los Angeles for KABC to speak to students at USC at the Annenberg School, and their television facility there is pretty state of the art. And I thought, wouldn't that be great if we could at least try to make something of that caliber here at the University of Illinois? We know that we have, you know, the best professors here and amazing students, and just kind of giving them a little extra advantage, I think.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
Many people remember that theme song. It's the Golden Girls, which launched in 1985 while Rich Frank was president of Disney Studios. At the time, it attracted 25 million viewers a week. 3 decades later, and many of the top shows are lucky to get about 3 million viewers a week. I asked Rich how did he feel about television, the medium he helped build after graduating from the U of I.
Unfortunately to say, I've lived through all of them, from three networks to what John Malone one day had predicted would be 500 stations, and everyone laughed at him, and we're probably pretty close right now. I think the more stations, the more programs, the more producers, the more writers there are, the better. Now, how do you make them all financially stable so that you can have that? And I think we're in a world still trying to find that out, because we have over-the-air broadcast, which is all commercial supported and has certain limitations that it can go to relative to content. And then we have cable channels, which are paid for two ways, one through subscriptions that the local stations and cable companies go back and forth and negotiate, and advertising. And now we have streaming, which started to be all subscriber-based and now has also started adding advertising. So I don't know where it's going to end up. It still costs everybody well over $100 a month if you're subscribing to many of these, which is probably too much for the population in general. But I believe we're at a time when there's phenomenal programming and you can see as much as you want. You can now binge watch or you can see things weekly. And the loser in all of that shuffle has been the broadcast networks. They have, aside from local news, where you might tune in to see what's happening in your community or the weather or the sports team. Very little local programming. It's all syndicated programming or something the network feeds. And it can't be as ambitious as something on streaming, which is getting paid much more to produce the shows. So they're losing audience left and right. You're right. I remember having a television show canceled with over 30 million viewers. So times have really changed, but I think to the better. I think the shows now are fantastic, and I think there's many of them, and there's an awful lot to watch.
TV news is also suffering declining audiences, and yet your local TV station, whether it's in central Illinois or southern California, is producing more newscasts for broadcast or streaming. And meanwhile, you're likely to see reporters producing TikTok videos or Instagram videos, as well as covering City Hall or the weather. So, Leslie, as we turn to you, when you talk to students about your career, what advice do you give them if they want to get into journalism?
There have been a lot of cutbacks in local news over the years. You're not seeing the investigative pieces that you've seen previously because, to your point, there are so many more newscasts on the air that the stations can't afford to take a reporter and a photographer out of the mix for, say, 5 days to do an investigative piece. They need those people on the air filling that airtime. So you're not seeing the investigative side of things, but I will say don't underestimate the importance of local news because when there's an issue happening, when there's a fire happening in your community or a weather calamity or some other kind of, you know, either disaster or important issue, it's not being covered by the network news or the cable news channels. It's being covered by the local news. So there's definitely an important service that you're fulfilling. But I think that when you start out, you really have to develop some solid time management skills because you are probably going to be doing a live shot in every newscast. You are required to post on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and that's all time-consuming. Shoot promos for the television station. Your first job, if you're working in a small market right out of school, is probably going to be as an MMJ, a multimedia journalist, where you are doing it all. You are shooting, editing, reporting, and delivering that package and setting up your own live shot, for that matter. So I think that developing time management skills, maintaining that natural curiosity, and realizing that what you're doing at this level is just making you better for when you make the jump to a bigger television market and you have a little more support with perhaps producers and a camera crew. And, you know, it's called starting out, I guess, and paying your dues, and we've all done it. But it's not easy, but it's the way to become better at your craft and to move forward.
Well, let's talk about wine. How did you get into having a huge vineyard in Napa Valley?
Well, that started with Rich when he was president of Disney Studios and he was looking for a quick getaway from Hollywood. It started with really the purchase of a house in Napa Valley. And then after that, making a little bit of wine for friends and family at the holidays. And then that's always how it starts, right? It starts as a hobby and then it becomes a passion project and then it becomes a full-fledged business. So that's really the story of Frank Family. And I came in along the way. And after I decided to leave television news and we decided to move to Napa full time from Los Angeles, I took those skills from journalism and tried to apply them to our business, which is storytelling. What is the story of Frank Family Vineyards? And that's a story that I tell every day. I've been telling other people's stories for my career. But the marketing and branding and the hospitality aspect where you're introducing yourself to people in your tasting room every day, you're meeting new people all the time. I was meeting new people every day when I would go out on a story and cover something and interview someone. You know, you're meeting them for the first time, and that's very much the case at the winery.
What we learned was we had skills that we had used in other businesses, and they became very handy. And by splitting up how we handle things, you know, I realized that my ability to understand the business side of the wine business was really important. The ability to know how to hire and the ability to know how to create labels and the ability to have the right people doing the right jobs. I was always doing it at an organization, whether it was Disney or Paramount before, that had thousands and thousands of people. And here we had a small group. I think the largest we ever were 50 people. And it forces you to use all the skills that you've used over the years, but you're just applying them someplace else.
Well, we've been talking with Rich and Leslie Frank, the namesakes of the Leadership and Innovation and Media Center at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thank you so much for taking time out of your visit to drop by our studios.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot.
And that's it for the 21st. Join us next week for a special guest, Jeremy Hobson, who NPR listeners may remember from Marketplace or Here and Now. Well, the Champaign-Urbana native will be back in Central Illinois next week to launch a brand new national show on public radio stations across America. And he'll join us for a full hour next week. The 21st is produced by Illinois Public Media. I'm Reginald Hardwick. For all of us, have a great weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday.